Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I'm Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, the most viewed and followed traditional Catholic website worldwide, ranked number one in the world as it relates to traditional Catholicism by Alexa, top 20,000 website now in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for all the prayers and support over the past 3 years. It will be 3 years at calendar's end, so I appreciate you all the wonderful messages and the financial assistance. It's been wonderful. I want to thank all those who continue to share my articles and radio shows. As you know, we've been picked up by several other major alternative news outlets, one being Veterans Today. They're now picking up my articles on that main page as well. So surely blessed this past year, and we look forward to 2017. And today's guest, sure to be a blockbuster, returning guest we've had on before, from the lastgreatstand.com, aka Voice of Reason, Michael DePinto. And we're going to blow through a variety of topics as we do here at Trad Cat Night. I want to get through some of Michael's latest work, if you will. And there's so much to talk about, you know, whether it has to do with Trump, whether it has to do with the hack wars between Russia and the United States, Mark of the Beast news, RFID chips being planted in disabled people. I mean, just so much going on here in the world today. And so without further ado, we're just going to hand it right over to Michael. And the first question is, you know, how have you been since our last talk? I know you're a little bit under the weather, just as me. We're working through this polar vortex here. It's like -5 degrees out with the wind chill. How's Florida down there?
Yeah, Florida, it's actually, one of my parents is a snowbird. They're still together, but she just has not been able to let go of New Jersey. So it had been pretty warm until right when she got back. And then it cooled off a little bit. But I mean, cool for us is, you know, 65 degrees, 60 degrees, something like that. I mean, relative, everything's relative. I don't think there's too many people around the country that are going to feel bad for me at 60, 65.
Oh, so let's just get right into it, Michael. I know you wanted to talk about, I believe, your last article, Congress passing bill to start putting RFID chips in disabled people. Now, I did a similar report. It was actually in Europe they started tagging people with dementia with a barcode, I believe it was. And I believe in times past they've been doing similar types of things to these refugees settling into the settlement camps over there in Europe. So I have no doubt that this is going to be a trend to kind of normalize this Mark of the Beast technology. Why don't you give us a synopsis of your latest article here?
Well, it's almost becoming impossible to even have a conversation these days without the words fake news coming out of your mouth. I mean, the reason I wrote the article and did the video more specifically was I think people need to see the larger picture. I mean, the media is not even covering the, you know, what's in the frame, let alone the larger portion of it. And this is a topic that, you know, I've been following for the better part of 5 years as far as, you know, how the technology keeps evolving, who's producing the technology, you know, what their motives are. And a lot of them are very clear about their motives. They come right out and tell you. And you know, in this particular article, I focus on Regina Dugan as her current position is the head of research and development for Google. And she came there directly from being the director of DARPA. And for anybody who's not familiar with DARPA, DARPA is the an agency within the Department of Defense that develops all the new technology and super top secret defense weapons. Why do we have a woman like that coming over to Google? But she's known worldwide for pushing this. Everybody needs to have an ingested RFID chip to the point where, you know, they've gotten FDA approved. And she's her newest thing now is she's working on brain reading tattoos. I don't need a tattoo reading my brain, man. It's what scares me is that people are not seeing the bigger picture. You know, that this, when was the last time government did anything? Took a dollar, you know, did anything without coming back later and asking for more. And this is a slippery slope that once it begins, there's no turning back.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You said a word there, or two words there, that we've been covering here the last week, and I had on Bix Weir the other day, and we were talking about this a little bit, and the whole mainstream media attack on fake news. We, of course, know that the mainstream media is the one with fake news. That's been long documented, oftentimes just scripted and passed along through the various networks. But we have, as of late, Zuckerberg and Facebook now even joining the fight. And this just came out within the past 24 hours, I believe. George Soros Finances Group helping Facebook flag disputed stories. Now, this organization partnered with Facebook to help determine whether a certain story is disputed. Is financed by billionaire Soros. Shocker.
Already? I have to... I just time out. You know, how are we even having a conversation about, you know, facts, journalistic integrity, with the word Soros in there? It's like... Sometimes it just becomes so frustrating, it feels like blood is just going to start squirting out of my eyes. It's just... We're truly fighting a spiritual battle. There's no question about it in the times that we're in. You know, as it relates to these chips and whatnot, you know, I'm absolutely certain I've got it figured out how they're going to eventually transition this into, you know, the market of the beast and the cashless system, which, you know, they're already beginning to implement over in India. What a great place to start that, right? You know, I mean, about like they couldn't have picked a small country. You know, you got to pick a country with 1/7 of the population's planet to begin going cashless. But I mean, what they're going to do is what I foresee them doing, and it's just because it's so easy. Is there's also been a lot of talk with Zuckerberg and these social media giants of transitioning to where, and my guess is we'll find out later that it has something to do with why the internet was transferred to whoever it was transferred to at the UN. Because there's been talk about requiring a government-issued ID card or ID of some type to be able to access the internet. And, of course, it will be sold as, you know, we need to make sure that we're limiting terrorist access to, you know, plan, you know, all the nonsense that that they'll say it's for. But in the end, it's so easy. I mean, I don't personally have children, but if every child needs one of these cards to get online... You know, once you transition the population onto that, then all you got to do is just say, by the way, folks, we're taking away the cards, we're moving to ingestible chips. And you will literally have people, you know, climbing over one another, their kids anyway, you know, to get these damn chips. And that's how you do it. I mean, because what parent in today's day and age is going to completely forbid their child from, you know, ever getting on the internet? And like, they're not going to do it when they turn 18. It's just the easiest way in the world for them. But this is where it starts, right here. You know, with it, what scares me equally, that the fact that, you know, they want local law enforcement to decide who should be chipped based on you know, whether or not the officers think these people have diminished mental capacity.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, I mean, chip all the liberals then. You know, I mean,
yeah, it seems to me they probably already have a chip. We don't know about it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's getting Looney Tunes. It's getting quite difficult to stay up with all the news. I wanted to get your take on what I just kind of call hack wars. I'm honestly getting a headache just kind of hearing, you know, I go on Twitter and I see this government official saying they've been hacked by Russia. I mean, I just want to vomit. It seems to be, you know, no end to this. What is your take on this whole hack wars? We have a report. Now Russia challenging the U.S. to prove campaign hacking claims or just shut up. I mean, is this something that could boil over more? Is this just kind of propaganda to distract us from something else, perhaps?
It absolutely could boil over. In fact, it almost did. So, you know, let's back up to the, you know, the campaign. I'm losing my mind today. And, you know, all we heard about was this narrative that Russia had hacked the DNC, and that was, you know, who's responsible for the leak. And, you know, Obama and Hillary just kept beating that drum and beating that drum and beating that drum. And eventually Putin got so pissed off that, you know, he parked a whole bunch of short-range nukes right along the, and this is documented fact, right along the Polish border, and pointed them right at Berlin. And you'd think that, you know, with nuclear missiles pointed at a U.S. ally because of the nonsense, I mean, they knew that they were lying, and yet they continued to do so. You know, it's like everything with liberals, the ends justify the means. So from going all the way back to the campaign, it was mind-numbing to think you have no problem putting all these lives at risk, you know, to continue to further your own agenda. Now, as we moved into this stage of it, it's just as much nonsense now as it was then. There's no documented evidence whatsoever that anybody has provided or produced that there's the possibility. Well, there's the possibility that I might flap my arms and get to the moon, you know, for vacation next week. But it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen or that's what did happen. What there is evidence of, and what nobody's talking about, is that the DHS tried to hack Georgia's election system 10 times. And the secretary, I think his name is Brian Kemp, Secretary of State for Georgia, has demanded, and rightfully so, an answer from, and it's the timing that these hacks took place as well, that, you know, were just super suspect. And, you know, he's demanded an answer. They changed their story enough times that now they've just stopped talking altogether. And, you know, so he ended up writing a letter this past week to President-elect Trump saying, will you investigate when you take office? And, again, that still assumes the guy even gets into office. I'm not so sure this, I mean, January 20th is a long way away.
Yeah, I want to get into that. That was going to be one of the questions I want to cover. But before we even get into that, you did a piece, it was just a few days ago, Hillary Q attempting to steal presidency from Trump on December 19th. Well, obviously that's going to be a few days away according to that schedule. But then potentially January 6th. Why don't you break that down for a little bit? This was a question, a curveball question I threw at Bix the other day, and he seemed to be under the impression that that was more than a possibility. But not just Hillary, maybe Obama still at this point. I mean, what's the, you know, what are we to make out of some of these latest theories and thesis coming out on alternative news websites? Any credence to them?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a I don't want to call it a line of succession. The verbiage is escaping me, but there absolutely is a very legitimate concern that we could be in a constitutional crisis, the likes of which this country has never seen before, in the next 3 days. And even if we, let's assume we get through that, there's nothing to say that it's still, there are so many things that could go wrong between now and January 20th. Until Trump is in the White House, I'm not convinced that we will not be in a state of martial law at some point before then. Because number one, why did all the protests die down? You know, I bet the farm that the reason that they all died and, you know, kind of quieted down is, you know, first of all, Obama had how many one-on-ones with D. Ray Mickelson, the leader of Black Lives Matter? You think he couldn't make a phone call and say, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? You know, not on my watch. You know, start it up about 3 or 4 days before the inauguration, but, you know, don't screw things up on my watch. And obviously they would do that for him. You know what I mean? So I think that in the days leading up to the inauguration is when we are going to see. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I just really don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that I am. That we're going to see so much violence and protesting and rioting start ratcheting up as we get closer that, you know, but to answer your question, as far as, you know, is there any credence to any of these theories? Absolutely. You know, there's nothing, there are laws in all 50 states that do require the electors or the electors to vote for the person that won their state, right? But the law isn't punishable. I've seen a lot of people talk about how anybody who doesn't do so should be charged with treason. Truth be told is it's a misdemeanor. That's the most it is in any state. Some states don't even have a fine if you choose to vote your conscience. And at the most, I think there's 29 states that if you vote for the other person as opposed to who you were supposed to, the worst you're going to get is a $1,000 fine. And Hillary only needs 29 defectors, so that's $29,000. And nobody's going to jail. You know, nobody's getting any trouble. So it really is a lot easier to do. The only thing that would be preventing people from doing it, I hope, but I'm really not so sure, is all the innocent lies. I mean, I think you're going to have violence on a scale that we probably haven't seen since the Civil War, man. Like, can you imagine if they overturned the will? I can't. I just don't even want to think that way.
Well, even besides that, Michael, you know, I would argue even if Trump does get into place, I said, you know, I think both you and I can say we were shocked that he even got in. At least I was. I thought for sure Clinton was going to get in. And who's to say she might not follow up Trump? At least I've seen some predictive programming on that particular piece. But anyway, even if Trump does get in, I mean, who's to say he doesn't get JFK'd? I mean, that's even a possibility, even if he does get in. But staying along the same lines of Trump, you know, I've been pretty... you know, I put myself out there. I don't think he is who he is. I realize that it's kind of a split camp. There's some who are cautiously optimistic. There's some who just think he's another puppet. But he seems to be selecting a lot of neocons. It seems that surveillance state seems to be trending in the negative, if you will. That's kind of increasing still. I mean, there's some areas of concern still. I did a blog within the past 6 months called The 4-Year Cycle of False Hope, and I think that you did a similar piece in terms of just Americans being overly optimistic and thinking, like, this is it, we've won. Maybe talk a little bit more along those lines of Trump, the future of America. I mean, what are we going to see here in 2017?
What a great question. And, yeah, and unfortunately that piece died very quickly and nobody read it. And, you know, that's unfortunately that happens sometimes. You know, if it's not sexy, people don't want to read it. The issues with Trump, anybody, Satan himself would be a better choice than Hillary Clinton, because, yeah. And that's just, I'll leave that at that.
Yeah.
Trump has surrounded himself with, nobody's ever going to make everybody happy, you know, I mean, regardless of who you are, somebody's always going to have a beef with something, so, you know, I've accepted the fact that there's just some people that he chose that I'm okay with, there's some people I'm really excited about, there's some people I'm really not happy about. And, you know, it's just the way it's going to be, and I accept that. It's, you know, that's the system of government that we have. Now, with that said, I think that with all three branches, some really awesome things are probably going to happen. I do believe Obamacare will get repealed, or enough of it will get repealed. It may not be, you know, I think it'll be 100%, to be honest with you. It may not be right away, but at the very least, the penalties and all the rest of that, I have tremendous hope for that. I think there's going to be a lot of tax reform. You know, a lot of loosening of regulations. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be very, very good for the country. That give us at least, you know, put the direction, you know, moving in the right direction anyway. The problem is you the really loyal Trump supporters, they remind me an awful lot of the Obama bots, you know, because they refuse to see the flaws. I mean, and I'll give you a couple examples. You know, here's a guy who ran a campaign that, for the first time in my life, at 40 years of age, you know, we've never had somebody. You couldn't talk about the global elites. You know, the central. That was conspiracy stuff. And here, this guy in his last campaign ad did a commercial that gives me goosebumps. The way he called out the global elites and the central bankers. And so he ran a campaign on that and then turns around and, you know, begins to surround himself in his cabinet with members of the Council on Foreign Relations and some of the real warlocks. You know, K.T. McFarland, what? You know, and then putting a Soros puppet in, or nominating, I should say, you know, a Soros puppet for the Treasury. That's like putting a child molester in charge of a daycare. Like, what? And unfortunately, you know, that's the kind of thing that nobody is talking about. And for those that don't know, you know, what the Council on Foreign Relations is and why it's such a big deal that he keeps picking people from that. The Council on Foreign Relations was started in 1911. It was started by J.P. Morgan, and he basically stole or recruited, you know, a number of the managers from the top newspapers in the country, and put them together and said, okay, your job is to figure out how many more papers I need to buy in order to have complete control of the media narrative in the United States via newspaper. They figured out it was going to be 25 papers. Needless to say, they bought the papers. And, you know, it could almost be said that what we saw this past election was like the culmination of 100 years worth of, you know, this behind-the-scenes collaboration. And when that group was formed, I think it was J.P. Morgan's lawyer who was the first president. The Rockefeller was on that, the Warburgs. Several of the 13 families. Essentially, in short, the Council on Foreign Relations, they're the mouthpiece, the PR office of the global elites.
Yeah.
So you can't run a campaign against globalism and then hire the people from their PR office.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, there's evidence there for Trump. I'm actually going to get someone who's well-respected in the traditional Catholic community, Dave Dionisi. He worked pretty high up with the government and then also was a CEO for a few financial firms. I mean, he's got some dirt linking him into being a Freemason. I've said that quite a few times. I think that he's a Scottish Freemason, and that from a Christian you know, is not good. But I mean, who knows? Well, we just got to, you know, take things on the surface, see what he does. But yeah, you know, I think if anything, he'll be used as a scapegoat for when this economic collapse happens. Then you'll see all these, you know, the anti-Trump Soros-funded people coming out of the woodworks again. And I mean, it could just be all hell on earth. But my follow-up question is that is this the last we've seen of Hillary? Do you think we'll see her again?
Man, I wish I could answer that. In a normal world, I would say yes. We've seen the end of her. I mean, she'd be, what, 70? She's, what, 69, 70, something like that? 74? There's already questions about her health.
Yeah,
I mean, she's done. I don't think we're going to see her again.
What about Chelsea? I mean,
don't know, don't care.
There you go. That sums it up.
You can leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be they're kind of grooming her maybe to kind of follow Hillary's footsteps. We'll see what goes on with that. You know, I guess, you know, there's another piece that you did, too. I mean, kind of toting along the same line here. Maybe potentially Obama, you know, setting off some fireworks here. But you did a good piece on the secret refugee resettlement program, and I'm wondering how that will transition into the Trump regime. We just had yesterday all over mainstream news, you know, these 1,000 Muslims in Britain, you know, shouting, you know, we want an Islamic caliphate. I mean, people are concerned that with the breakdown of the borders, with all the influx of these refugees, that, you know, we might be next. I mean, we are a larger country and it'd be a little bit more difficult, but it seems like we're heading in that direction, right, Michael?
You know, with that question, at the risk of sounding corny, but at the same time, I'm very sincere when I say this. Obviously, if being, having the Second Amendment, you know, with Trump and knowing that our guns aren't going in, are we going to get taken over the way Europe did? You know, no. You know, but literally, as soon as a shot is fired, we all lose, you know. Like, I feel that. That's not, you know, me, you know, just bloviating. Yeah, as soon as shots start getting fired and people start dying, everybody loses, because this country will never be the same. You know, we're already, you know, a millimeter away from being in a police state, and I think we have much bigger, more pressing problems than the Muslim population, you know, rising up or causing so much, so many issues, or, you know, so much grief that there would be violence. It could happen. I think it would be on such a small scale, you know, just a little one-off here or something to that effect. I think that, you know, when you kind of go back to your other question about Trump, you know, he's doing a lot of the right things, saying a lot of the right things, but, you know, there's certain fundamentals that just don't work. You know, this $1 trillion infrastructure plan with cutting taxes. Well, you know, and you'll hear people talking about another ringing revolution. And what they're leaving out is when ringing did that, we were the largest creditor nation on the planet. We're the largest debtor nation on the planet right now, and there is nobody on Earth that is buying our bonds. So you can't cut your income, meaning taxes, and spend $1 trillion without it coming from somewhere. And the only place that we've had when the government would issue its treasuries is the Fed would buy them. The problem now is the Fed's asset sheet or balance sheet can't handle anymore. So it's got to start raising interest rates, because if they continue to do that, dollar's going to implode on itself. And on the flip side, they can't raise rates too much, because then they're going to bankrupt themselves, the U.S. government, tank the stock market, and tank the financial market. So, I mean...
Maybe that's what they want, though.
I think the powers that be know that has to happen. I mean, there's going to be a time the reset is coming. You know, is it going to be next month? It could be. It could be next week. When it starts, things are going to unravel so fast. We've got what's going on over in Italy with their banks.
Yeah.
It could take a day or two to completely destroy the global markets. You've got, and people don't get this. Nothing's going to, there's not going to be a collapse. It's conspiracy, get your tinfoil hat off. And it's like, let me give you some very simple numbers that I could teach this to a third grader and they would understand why a crash is coming. Deutsche Bank alone, now granted that's Germany, not Italy, but I mean, it just further proves my point though. Now we got two different places that it's going on, let alone all the banks, but Deutsche Bank, their exposure to the derivative market is $45 trillion in exposure. The annual GDP for the entire continent of Europe is $15 trillion. So their exposure, one bank, just one, is over three times the entire continent's annual GDP. Now, we've got a whole lot more banks with problems. I mean, so for people not to understand it, this isn't going to be like an economic downturn or a recession. This is going to be like biblical, because people are not going to be able to eat, and they're going to have to hurt other people to get food. Yeah. It's not going to be, although that could happen. There's no chance it won't happen. It's just a matter of, how bad it'll be. And I love what Bill Holter said not long ago. And he said that Trump can't do it. People that are putting, that was kind of the article I think you saw online, where people have got this renewed faith that, he can somehow right the ship. And I'm sorry, but the ship sailed a long time ago, decades ago. It's not that there's anything wrong with Trump or that he's not competent or capable. It's just not possible. For him to fix the damage that's been done, we are going to have to pay the piper, and it's going to be ugly. Very, very. There's a 0% chance it doesn't come. I'm sorry, that's what I was saying. Bill Holter, he said, there's no way we get out of it. The best that we can hope for is, a President Trump to preside over the bankruptcy of the United States in a lawful and fair manner.
That's just kind of the concern. I mean, you can kind of almost see the setup of how when this collapse does happen, however you want to put it, crash. I mean, the liberals are going to start crying. These globalists, the nationalism doesn't work. Trump couldn't make it happen. And then, it's just going to be all-out war, all-out civil war. I mean, you can kind of see how that's going to play out, at least from my perspective. And I said that even before Trump got into office, that if he did, that would be the likely scenario. But yeah, indeed, this collapse is in scripture, in the apocalypse. And I've always argued, in order to usher in this phony new Messiah coming onto the scene, which will take place after the economic collapse, this Maitreya character, there's got to be a whole lot of problems in the world. And we're starting to see all these problems converge. I don't know if you saw this the other day. Now it's getting really eerie with these NASA warnings about asteroid strikes. I mean, it's like the second or third one in the past like 2 weeks I've seen. I don't know if you've seen that, but there's just so many different ways that the globalists can quote unquote unite humanity, whether it's the war on terror, World War III. I would even argue maybe an epidemic of large scale that would have to unite people on the vaccine level. Like, you got to get your vaccine and your chip. however they'll work that out. Then we have a phony alien invasion on the card. Then we have this asteroid thing. I mean, there's just so many different cards they can play. I asked Bix this question. I'll get your take on it. Is it possible that they play all these cards, or is there one card that you think they'll kind of stick to going forward in the next few years?
That's another. I mean, these are great questions. I don't think that anybody really has control. That there's nobody has absolute control over the global economy. I mean, when this thing goes, it's going to go. And so I don't know that anything could be coordinated with that. I think it'd be really tough to play, you know, all the cards, you know, to use the words figuratively. I think that'd be very difficult. I don't know that the government is even needs to be planning for something as much as, you know, it's an inevitability. You know, I mean, we're the biggest debtor nation on earth. We're broke as hell. You know, we have a worthless dollar. It's going to be worthless, especially once when we lose our status as the reserve currency. It is over. You know, most Americans don't. You know, how much did your life change that you can materially put your finger on and say, okay, well, you know, my life was like this when we were at $18 trillion in debt, and now that we're at 20, you know, these are all the things that I've had to change. Yeah, no, you know, it's really hard for everyday Americans to understand, like, how they're going to feel, like, not just a little bit of pain, excruciating pain financially when we lose the reserve status. And again, that's another thing that's not an if, it's a when. It's a process that's, well, it's like 70% finished. It doesn't have that much more to go until that's done. And when that happens, we'll be a bankrupt country with nobody that's lending to us, no means to buy anything. All of our production and manufacturing has been offshore or overseas. You know, shut the you know, manufacturing plants down, or the very few that we have left, China has bought them, which is just insane. And the absolute kicker of it is even with all that, we import 50% plus of this nation's food. Now, it's not hard to figure out how that story ends. Yeah. You know, there's not a big conspiracy there. You know, when half the food is not showing up for 320 million people, I don't know that the government could plan much that's going to be worse than that. You know, I think they've got their contingency plans. That's about the only thing that I think that they've got set is, you know, a plan for them when it all goes bad. I don't know that I believe that they're going to orchestrate it, just because there's nobody who would be safe from it. You know, like these pinheads on television, these liberal buffoons, you know, even in their gated communities. I mean, where the hell do you think all the broke people are going to go when it all goes down? You know, like they somehow think they're going to be insulated from the chaos that they've helped create. But no, I don't think anybody in government or anybody else, anywhere else wants that day to come, because I don't think you can put that, you know, that genie back in the bottle. Once it's out, it's going to have to play itself out, and I think a tremendous amount of loss of life takes place when it does.
Yeah, staying within the specific area of potentiality of World War III, we had today a report Sweden is preparing for war with Russia. Officials in Sweden have been ordered to ensure that they are ready for war as fears of Russian invasion grows. I think this is the second time in the past 6 months I've seen a similar article. You've had Poland saying the same thing. A lot of countries in that area are quite concerned. This ties in with a prophecy in the traditional Catholic world, or just Catholicism in general, wherein Russia will essentially invade. I mean, eventually these prophecies suggest that they will invade Europe. They will move through Italy. In terms of America, it seems pretty clear that we'll be attacked too. But I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you think is the biggest threat to the United States? I mean, obviously we've talked about Russia, but what about China? What about North Korea, who's always, you know, taunting and saying that they have missiles that could reach the West Coast? What is it we should be concerned about? Or maybe it's just the ignorance overall of just our own populace. Maybe that's our biggest enemy.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. You know, it's the stupefaction of the average American citizen, you know, that you see these you know, like when Waters, Jeff Waters does this thing, he goes to college campuses and talks to these kids, and it's like, my God, you know, how much are you paying for that education again? That is our biggest enemy is us. I don't think that there's going to, and maybe I'm ignorant. I very well could be. I just think that there's so many things that are going to take us out from within before that any of those things are a real concern. Now, I guess they'll all be a concern once we take ourselves out from within, then we leave ourselves open. And, you know, obviously having vast natural resources, somebody's going to come in and swoop it up. As far as the Putin thing, you know, I don't know what I believe. You know, I've seen enough video of him. I've done enough, you know, articles about him where I've looked at his face, you know, when he's talking. And I hear the only thing that people in the West, in the United States, and you know, this is where I live, so I can speak for here. You know, the only thing that most of us know about Putin, unless you've read or you know, somebody you know has read a book that's footnoted, meaning you know it can be verified what's in it, you know, everything we've gotten from the media that we know lies through their teeth. And you know, I saw a couple of German reporters ask him in a post that I did about Crimea, and he about went nuts. Because you know, he said that not a single shot, and I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. Here's what I do know. I do know that my media lies 99% of the time. So, you know, where the middle ground is, I don't know. But he's, you know, he claims that not a single shot was fired, that there was not a single death, that you know, everything that happened with those that, you know, defected or you know, left to join the Russian Federation did so as part of a referendum that they called themselves. It wasn't anything that he did. And I don't know who's telling the truth. The only thing that I do know to a certainty is that my media lies to me incessantly. You know, so he was really pissed about that. The other thing I see in when he speaks is, you know, that man loves his country and he loves his people. You know, and as any leader would or should, he's going to do what he needs to do to keep his people safe. We seem to forget that. You know, and I've seen another number of times where you know he has said that the United States cannot continue to you know, break the law and do whatever it wants, you know, invade places, you know, violate people's rights, you know, to suit itself with impunity. Because I mean, we've been doing it for the 40 years I've been here, yeah. You know, and when another country gets, God forbid, you know, Russia does anything, I'm not defending them, but, you know, we are, and I'm not bashing the U.S. either. People really you know, lose sight of the fact that his job as their president is to keep his people safe, and, you know, looks like he's doing a good job. You know, it seems like he's doing a way better job than Obama did. So I don't see him as a threat. I think he cares more about his people and their health than he does. I don't think he's a warmonger. I just don't get that. You know, we hear that he's a murdering thug. You know, okay. You know, George H.W. Bush, you know, former head of the CIA. That was one dark, you know what? I mean, that guy's done, seen, or ordered some things in his lifetime that, you know, the average person probably couldn't hold dinner down after. So yeah, I don't fault Putin for his time in the KGB. You know, any country needs people that do that. We've got our guys that do that, for God's sake. I remember his concern over Hillary, that he saw the writing on the wall because there's you know, the issues that he has with the global elite, with the Rothschilds, with Soros, you know, big ones, because he hasn't bowed to their banking cartel. He knew that with a Hillary Clinton presidency, he was most likely looking at nuclear war, or at the very least, war.
Yeah.
And you know, he repeatedly said he did not want, he doesn't want a fight. And what leader would? You know, like what leader would want to get in a war and see your own people die? Like it just doesn't make any sense. Now, which you know. It's not surprising that that's the pitch that our media gives us, because everybody believes it. They're so gullible. But I just don't buy that he's willing to start a war and you know, potentially risk the annihilation. For what? You know, to put a flag somewhere? I'm just not buying it.
Now, speaking about Hillary, it seems this came out in the past 24 hours or so, too. Clinton investigation back on FBI agents in New York ordered to continue foundation probe. So apparently we have now after the election, many speculated the probe of Clinton Foundation would be laid to rest. But now, according to an exclusive report from the Daily Caller, senior officials at FBI headquarters in D.C. have apparently instructed their agents in New York to continue the investigation. So it seems like they're either stringing us along here again. We had Trump come out and say, you know, he wasn't going to, you know, basically press charges on Clinton or anything. So who knows, you know, what direction this will spin. Maybe it's another distraction tactic. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it gives me a headache every day when I get onto the social media sites and have to listen to Hack Wars and Russia versus the United States. I mean, who knows how this is going to play out exactly in 2017, Michael. I mean, appreciate you coming back on. I want to give you the last few minutes here to relay any upcoming projects, articles you're working on, media appearances. Do some shameless self-promotion. I know you got a YouTube channel there too, Vast Right Wing Conspirator, but tell us more in relation to your websites and things along that line.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously, the website is www.thelastgreatstand.com. The YouTube channel is Vast Right Wing Conspirator. That is really where I'm trying to begin to shift my focus more towards, is, you know, towards YouTube, towards putting out, if I can, a video a day, or, you know, roughly at least 30 a month, and continue to grow that and get away from some of the writing. Just because I think it's a little bit more personable, and sometimes it's easier to say things than it is to write them.
Yeah.
So my focus is going to be moving more towards the YouTube, so I encourage people to check out the channel. Certainly hit the little gear next to subscribe if you want to be notified when there are new videos that come out. The only thing that I'm really concerned about doing as far as projects go is just continuing to ring the bell until the bell can't be rung anymore, you know, and I need to be taken care of, number one. I do believe that there are horrible days ahead for us. And it's not a matter of being optimistic or being pessimistic. You know, it's just a matter of knowing arithmetic. And having, you know, like we were talking about the situation with the direct, that was one bank. You know, when you start to put together the entire situation, you realize that there is no way out of this. And, you know, my number one focus is on getting people to realize that, you know, if you're lucky enough to be one of those, you know, 100 million, not be one of the 100 million that are not working, and you've got a paycheck coming in, if you have a family, you know, God knows, if you have children in your household, you have got to be doing the things that need to be done so that when things do go south, you're prepared. Whether that's, you know, food supply, whether that's medicine, whether that's, you know, water, all of the above. You know, learning how to protect yourself, how to protect your home. You know, you don't have to go all, you know, Rambo on me, but at the same time, taking prudent, realistic, practical measures to protect your family. You know, at the very least, and I'll close on this because I think it's so powerful that it hits people right between the eyes that have kids. And I'm like, why have I thought of this and you haven't? You know, what is your plan? What is your family's plan? Where are you going to meet if everything goes south? And if you don't have an answer to that question, I am really concerned. You know, I don't have children, like I said, but, you know, if things go south, and I define south as, you know, let's say what happened in Ferguson or what happened in Baltimore could easily happen, you know, come Inauguration Day, because these groups have promised that they're going to do it. So, you know, if they follow through, that could easily happen. And have you spoken with your children about where you're going to meet should you be separated and things get really bad? You know, have a meeting place. Figure those mean work, but yeah. Well, how does the saying go? If you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. I just, for the life of me, can't understand how families have not had those conversations yet. So at the very least, if that's the extent of the prepping a person can do that, please. You know, have a plan so that your child is in at a school, you know, half a city away, not knowing how or when they're going to get to you. So that's really the only thing that I just can't stress enough. I see whether it's through social unrest that leads to, whether it's, you can call it whatever you want, martial law, police state, or just flat out violence on your street that's coming for you. Whatever you call it, really doesn't matter. I just see very, very dark times and very, very ignorant people that are choosing to wear the blinders rather than just do a little bit of digging, because it's right there.
So. Yeah, the writing's on the walls. I've said there's no doubt about it. It's as you mentioned, it's not being really optimistic or pessimistic. It's just being realistic. And I always kind of relay back to what our Lord said during these times, the distress of nations. And that's on every level, folks, whether it's societal, whether it's economic, whether it's political. Our Lord went even on to say, the signs and the stars, the sun, the moon, and the stars, we're seeing those types of events now starting to happen. But he said men's hearts will fail them. We haven't seen anything yet. And I'm not even just talking about what's going on here on planet Earth. You need to start paying attention to the skies, folks, because it's going to get very interesting, to say the least. So many of us, that do the kind of work that Michael and I do, get messages from people who will label us nut jobs and tinfoil hat wearing people. Take a look at Greece. Take a look at Brazil. Take a look at Venezuela. There's another report today coming out. Venezuelan parents giving away their children amidst the deep crisis because they can't feed them. So don't be one of those people who fall into that category. Now you have time to prepare. That's one of the things that we get across here at Tradcat Night too. It is prudent. It is biblical. Noah prepared. Joseph in the Old Testament prepared for the famine, the 7-year famine. So we know what's coming, folks. We don't have to run around like a chicken without a head. But in the end, for today's talk, we'll label this one Hillary Hack Wars and RFID chip. We're beginning to see the groundwork being laid here. And I think 2017, I think Michael would agree with me, is going to be very eventful, even more so than 2016. I would say one trend to look for is just the continued trend in censorship, just with Christians. We're seeing this attack on Christianity worldwide, folks. Coaches being suspended for just praying, Bibles being removed from hotels and businesses. I don't know if you saw this report yesterday. I did a blog on this, Michael. Christian statues all over Germany being defaced, decapitated. Blessed Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ. I mean, these statues all over Germany are just being decapitated and laid to ruins as multiculturalism takes place in Germany. So something for us to keep an eye on there. Again, subscribe to Tradcat Night, folks, right here on YouTube. Make sure you get to tradcatnight.blogspot.com. Make sure you get to Michael's website, thelastgreatstand.com. Get to his YouTube page, Vast Right Wing Conspirator. And we'll try to get Michael back on here in the next few months to do another update on all the current events that he and I are both covering. Now, until next time, my good friends, stay safe and God bless.